Hey everyone, thank you for listening to the podcast. We are super excited for you to listen to this upcoming episode, but we just wanted to take a quick moment to announce our new partnership that we are super excited about with ACCA, Air Conditioning Contractors of America. After a previous podcast with ACCA CEO Bart James, we knew we wanted to go deeper into a partnership so we could serve the HVAC industry more together. So thank you to ACCA, Air Conditioning Contractors of America, for the partnership. We're grateful and we look forward for what's to come and hope you enjoy this upcoming episode.
Hello, friends, and welcome to The Point, the home services podcast that focuses on marketing and operational solutions to help you get better. Because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Now, let's cut through the bullshit and get to the point.
What's up to the point, listeners? I agree, Paul, that we should cut through the bullshit and get to the point, especially with the topic that we're talking about today and our guest around the financial side of things, because there is a lot of smoke and mirrors sometimes on the financial side of really anything. And man, it's all about the details, man, the fine print. You got to pay attention. I'm going to do something a little bit different real quick before I even get started. For those who have not listened to the podcast before, I am your host, Chris Yano, as well as my co-host, Mr. Tall Paul Redmond. Tall Paul, why don't you say hello?
Hello, everyone.
That was very good.
Yeah, I'm on my best behavior today.
Yeah, great. So listen, I want to try something new today. Are you okay with that, Paul?
I'm 100% comfortable
with it. I just want your permission to change it up a bit. Do I have it?
I'm good with that. I'm 100%.
A resounding yes. I want to thank a couple people. I want to thank some of our new followers on our social media page. Do you think that'd be something cool? Because it continues to grow, and I have this long list here, and I thought, hey, man, why not throw out a couple names and just thank some of the people who are listening and and make them feel special. Sound good?
Let's do it.
So right away. So listen, Jim Dively. Well, I know Jim Dively. Jim Dively, a good friend of mine. Jeremiah Bellew, Thomas Center, Nancy from Yellow Dog Creative, what's up? Rick Bormita. Mr. Dan Antonelli, who was a previous guest on To The Point, Eric Hyla, Teresa Wilkins, Dylan Phillips, Carly Hansen, she's a rhino. Hi to you, Carly. Now I'm going to follow up with her and ask her if she heard me give her a shout out just to see if she's listening to our own podcast.
Yep.
Anyhow, thank you all to those that have continued to listen and drove us up to number 32 on the charts for marketing in the podcast world. Pretty awesome. So let's go ahead and get into it. Paul, would you do us the honor of introducing our guest?
I would love to, Chris. Thanks for passing that over to me. But I want to give some context. You know, we talk a lot on this show about money and finance all the time. And we've gotten some feedback from our listeners. They have a lot of questions that we don't go really deep on, right? We miss a lot of the details. So we talk about mergers. We talk about acquisitions. We talk about all these sort of things without really giving the practical, like a lot of people, some people know how to do that stuff, but a lot of people don't. And so a couple months ago, man, I hate that we're still at a point where we have to like reference the, you know, March timeframe when all this coronavirus and COVID stuff is coming down, but it's just the frickin' reality we're yep. in.
And, still here.
You know, we're scrambling to figure out what's going on. We've got a business to run to. And, you know, we're starting to learn about essential service companies. We're starting to learn about the paycheck protection program and all of that that's going on in Washington. And as we were researching, like how we can help our customers, a couple of our customers said, hey, you need to call this guy. This guy's got it figured out. He knows exactly what to do. Call him immediately. So I figured I was calling some like, you know, massive bank, and I didn't know who I was going to get a hold of. And I called and it was Brandon, and he just answered. And he's like, hello, this is Brandon. And so kind of started the dialogue. At the time, we were going to bring Brandon on to, and this is like early March, to just explain what was going on with the CARES Act, explain how to apply for it, SBA loans for first timers and all those sort of things. But gosh, that's been just such a moving target for the last couple of months that we couldn't quite pin it down. So we regrouped, and we're bringing on a special guest today, someone that is from North Carolina, so on my side of the country, graduate of UNC Wilmington. Those are the C-somethings, right?
Seahawks.
Sea chickens.
The Seahawks, right? So, gosh, in, we had a guest on like last episode that had 25 years of experience. And I think if we were to go back 25 years for you, you'd be like probably 3 or 4 years old. So
just
getting started. But it looks like you've spent your whole professional career serving contractors in the finance space. You're the vice president of service contractors for Live Oak Bank. Why don't you kind of tell our listeners kind of how you got into this, how you started focusing on the trades, HVAC, plumbing, electrical, and kind of go through that piece of your history, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Paul. And thank you, Chris, for having me on the podcast. Really looking forward to talking about introducing the listeners to Live Oak. What I'll kind of do is give a brief explanation about Live Oak Bank and who we are and my role here, just because I think it helps kind of set the stage for why this little old bank in Wilmington, North Carolina has a team that just focuses on home service companies.
Let's do it.
A lot of people might think that's crazy, but I certainly don't.
Nope, not us.
We were founded about 10 years ago, and we were known as the Doggy Bank, because what we did is we just focused on providing SBA loans to veterinarians. Whereas most banks just set up, 10 branches in a geographic area, and they'll lend to whatever with no focus on your industry, or they'll lend to any type of business, any type of consumer. Whereas we said, we're going to focus on small businesses in specific industries that we researched heavily and understand, so that when the customer comes to us for financing, they don't have to educate us on what their business is going through or what their finances are going through. And so as we grew as a bank, we said, you know what? I think there's a lot of other industries out there besides veterinarians that we can lend to. And 10 years later, I was actually on the team at the bank that researched the new industries. One day I was walking home, it was middle of the summer, and I said, it'd be real miserable if my air conditioning went out and I had to sit here in Wilmington, North Carolina, right on the Atlantic Ocean, and be sitting there in 90 degree weather with my dog. That'd be pretty miserable. I bet there's companies out there that just do repair, service, replacement work. And we started researching the industry. And as you all know, it's a pretty big industry. And there was not one bank who was talking to these folks and educating them on what SBA 7A loans were and how they could leverage them to grow their businesses. We've just found that a lot of HVAC service companies, pretty much, if their local bank, their local banker who they've known for the past 20 years didn't know what an SBA loan was, they weren't going to know to go look for one on their own. Same as how, I don't know anything beyond what my HVAC service company tells me, and I don't know to look for anything beyond that. And so I actually left that team and said, I want to focus on providing financing to home service companies. Because one, I think the biggest thing is that there's a lot of great people in this industry, as you all are familiar with, all the way from the technician up to the owner of the business, just great folks. And these companies can really do, if run properly, can really do well financially. And so we've been in the industry for about 2 years. We've done a lot of education of people. And I would say 99% of the contractors that we speak to, the SBA 7A loan is a completely new product that they did not know about, that has a lot of significance to their company in a variety of ways and a variety of uses that they just didn't know. And a lot of people, when you first talk to them, they hear financing and they think consumer financing, not actual financing for my business that I own, whether that's acquiring another company or just working capital or a variety of other uses. And so that's all I do all day, every day as a banker. I just talk to HVAC and plumbing service companies in all 50 states. And I can confidently say that we're the only team at any bank that does that. So I hope that kind of sets the stage and gives a good background on who I am without being too wordy and boring the listeners.
No, man. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and jump right into, since you brought up the SBA 7A loan, let's talk about that. I mean, what is, so this isn't a, like you said, the consumer financing piece. This is the financing for you as the company. Or so like if I'm wanting to acquire another company, I could apply for this type of loan. So can you explain a little bit more of what it is and the ways that it's being used right now, in addition to, say, acquisitions?
Yeah, absolutely. So probably 4 or 5 months ago, an SBA loan was probably not as well known. But as we all know, the headlines of the newspapers were all about PPP loans, which was an SBA program. But the SBA actually has what's known as a 7A program. And what that is, that's their flagship, the flagship lending program. It's around every single year. And what it is it's a government guaranteed loan that enables banks like Live Oak, and there are other banks that offer SBA loans. And what it is it's a loan to small business, and I don't think I'm on video, but I'm putting quotation marks up because I'm putting quotation marks around small, because you can be a $20 million home service company and still receive an SBA loan.
Got it.
And that is by no means a small company.
Right.
Because it's government guaranteed, meaning essentially the government backs 75% of the loan, that banks can provide financing to small businesses where the loan approval is based upon the cash flow of the business and not the collateral. Most banks, if you come to them for an acquisition loan to buy a competitor across town, they're going to say, what type of collateral do you have to put up? Well, we all know a lot of the value in these companies is really in the goodwill, the brand, the profits of the business, which you can't secure a loan with. So the bank would say, you can't get a loan. And so the SBA recognized this, and this program plugs that gap where now companies can buy each other out, grow in different ways that weren't yet accessible to them by using the 7A program.
I'm going to interrupt again. Sorry, Paul. I know you want
to
get it.
No, I did this to you the show before.
I know,
so it's
man.
Okay.
I know. So my brain's spinning because this is actually a conversation I've been in many, many times, but I'm genuinely interested. So I want to keep asking questions and we keep going. Are there any of the requirements, anything is changing because of COVID? Like, hey, it used to be where you only had to provide this much. Like you talked about loan approval based on cash flow. But are there now more requirements to actually get approved for this with all the COVID stuff coming out? Or is this one designed for this type of pandemic?
I would say that's a great question. I would say the typical requirements, because even though it's a business loan, the any owner of 20% or more of a company getting an SBA loan has to be a personal guarantor.
Right.
So they have to have a good resume, in the industry, or just, good personal credit, good past personal credit, et cetera. Making sure, the biggest thing is making sure the business can repay the loan.
Sure.
And there's a lot of requirements that go into that, which listeners can call me if they have questions. I won't get into every single detail.
It's a bunch. It's a big pain in the ass for sure.
It definitely is. And in terms of requirements though, we have customers fill out what we call a COVID-19 questionnaire just to see how their business was affected. And now that's coming from the SBA. So that's, you got to think that's, if you're lending to a hotel, they have to fill out that questionnaire, and hotels were really damaged by this and still, haven't really come out of it. Whereas in our industry, in all 50 states, these were essential services.
Right.
So they continue to operate. So a lot of times they just have to show how the coronavirus or the shutdown affected their business and what the financials, what their projections will look like moving forward. But beyond that, really no additional requirements that have changed the program or tweaked it to make it tougher to get a loan.
Got it. Interesting. Okay, Paul, I won't cut in anymore. I'll let you roll, buddy.
Well, I know we don't want to do a big deep dive on the payment protection loans, but I'm just curious if you sense any risk coming for borrowers who are expecting to get forgiveness, and here they are
question.
In an industry that is doing well by the most part. Do you anticipate anything there? I don't know if you can touch on that or not.
To be honest, at the bank, so once we kind of got past the PPP loan, just funding them and getting them out the door, we then turned and said, okay, let's review our existing portfolio of home service companies. And we did, and found that largely they were pretty unimpacted. They were impacted, but they had recovered. And so I've actually gone back completely to my normal job of lending 7A loans for people to grow their company. So I haven't heard that much as it regards to the PPP forgiveness and any risks associated there. I know that the SBA continues to kind of alter what that looks like. So what's true today might be different tomorrow. But I personally have not been given any indication of that, but a lot of that's up to our, you know, folks up on Capitol Hill and whatnot.
Well, I've seen a lot
as to what they'll decide.
I've seen a lot of new boats and a lot of new trucks rolling around here.
I wasn't going to say it, Yano. I wasn't going to say it.
Hopefully that's because of the 0% financing the dealers are all offering versus the PPP funds.
I would hope. Can you share some use cases or kind of case studies of some acquisition deals? Our listeners love talking about buying and selling. So have you had some good experience in that regard using this product?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say the easiest loan or the easiest loan for Live Oak to make in the home services space is that if you're an existing air conditioning contractor, and it might be a local competitor who's 30 years your senior and they're ready to sell and they don't have anybody at the business that wants to buy them, but they still want to sell. They don't want to shut the doors, or you've got a zip code over that you really don't have a foothold in, that buying a nice company would kind of help you, give you a good foundation to expand in. Us lending to a existing company to buy another company is one of the easiest loans to make, because you can go ahead and you can see that the business owner who's receiving the loan already has a business that's run well, assuming it's run well, that they have good personal credit and then they have a good resume. And then it becomes okay analyzing the company that they're looking to buy. And the great thing about getting an SBA 7A loan to make an acquisition of another company is that if your existing company is the borrower of the loan or a co-borrower on the loan, you can get 100% financing to buy that other business out, essentially meaning you don't have to put a down payment down, which is great. We all know how important it is to have cash on your books, especially in HVAC with seasonality. Essentially, you can buy another business, and as long as you run it well and maintain it or grow it, it essentially pays for itself without you ever having to put a down payment down.
And as you're talking to contractors, they're surprised by this loan product, right? They didn't know this type of financing existed and the differences between traditional SBA loans.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's and because conventional loans, the, you know, no SBA guarantee, are tough to get. You have to put up a lot of collateral. You have to and you have to put up a big down payment, and the term is shorter of the loan, meaning your monthly. Not only do you have to put cash down, but you probably have to pay more each month to pay the loan back. Whereas an SBA loan kind of flips that on the head and says you don't necessarily have to put a down payment down, and your term's going to be longer to help your cash flow, and you don't need to fully secure the deal with collateral. So your access to financing is a lot greater. And so contractors, typically what we've seen is that the first time we talk to them, that kind of sparks the idea, saying, wait, what? I can go do this? And then they start to say, okay, they ask a few more questions, learn about the product. Because at that point, they really haven't ever thought about, they might have thought about buying the gentleman, a guy who owns one truck and has his own business, and they just, you know, buy him for $5,000 and give him a commission on the replacement sales he makes. they're not thinking about buying the company across town that does $2 million in sales that wants to sell for $750,000, because unless he was willing to hold her note, access to bank financing was tough. So now that we tell them that it is available, then they go out and look for the opportunities. So I'd say most of them are surprised, but most of them then kind of say, okay, I think we can find something that we can use this for. So.
Got it. How often are people approaching you from a working capital perspective to finance growth, marketing, those sort of things?
You know, that's one that it's not something that we get often. I would say typically acquisitions seem to be the hot button thing right now.
Right.
But to your point, I think there's one, you can do inorganic growth where you acquire another business and grow that way. But you could also say, you know, there's not really a business in that county that I want to buy, but I think there's a good opportunity. Instead of funding it through the cash flow of my business or funding it out of the cash of my balance, so you could get a $200,000 loan to, you know, help buy trucks, help hire people, help train them, help invest in advertising and marketing, which we know is super important. And going towards a lease, maybe you need a small physical location there and building it that way, because that $200,000 loan is going to be on a 10-year term, and that's fully amortizing. So that's 120 months of payments on a loan. So it's going to be a lot less than, say, funding it out of your cash flow. It makes it more manageable. So it's just another aspect to grow that it's one we haven't hit on a lot, but I think it's a great opportunity and on the other end of an acquisition. So
I think there may be some interest in that in the room as I see steam coming out of Christiana's head. We have clients who have $200,000 annual marketing budgets projecting a target of $1 million growth that are white knuckling it and cash flowing it. And then we have seasonality that plays into it. And it's interesting. That could be a good solution for a lot of these guys. Chris, I see your wrist turning over there.
And I'll bring it back down to like 100,000. So if you get out a $100,000 loan to invest in marketing in and above your current budget, and assuming the business can repay the debt and you have good personal credit as an owner, et cetera, that monthly payment over 10 years is like $1,100 or $1,200 versus just taking it straight off your balance sheet. Otherwise, with a loan, you can pay it off $1,200 a month. So I think it's pretty manageable and allows people the opportunity to take some lag time to invest in the marketing and build out a service area.
Perfect, for sure. Chris, I see you chomping at the bit over there.
I mean, this is already so good because I didn't even know that. I didn't, like, but I love, I mean, of course I love the idea of being able to do that, but let me ask another question. Have you seen cases where they're, or is this even an option where they're utilizing that loan to purchase a building or a office or something like that?
So as a bank, I would say that is the most common use of an SBA loan. And the reason for that is because no matter what, banks have to, they require, if you conventionally buy, unless you own that building already, if you're buying, you lease your property and your landlord wants to sell to you, you're going to have to at least come up with 10, 15,
right.
20% down.
Exactly, which is huge. That can be huge, yeah.
And with an SBA loan, just like if you're an existing business buying another business, and this is all for existing businesses, if you've been in business for 12 months at least, you can acquire a piece of real estate with 100%, up to 100% financing with an SBA loan. And so you don't have to, again, you don't have to draw on your cash reserves. And there's a prepayment penalty for the first 3 years, but normally people haven't built up enough equity yet in the property. So it's a great foot in the door loan is what I like to call it. So that you can buy your property without putting money down and cash flow it through your business. It essentially replaces your rent payment, but now you're building equity and you're your own landlord.
Did you say the prepayment penalty is 3 years?
Yep, the first 3 years, and typically people don't look to refinance the loan until after year five.
Sure.
And so by that point, you can pay it off, at any time. And that prepayment penalty is only really for if you pay off a quarter of the balance at any time. Like if you want to add 10% more to your monthly payment, you can do that. It's not going to penalize you.
Got
more
it.
Or less the whole payoff.
What about in situations where contractors are coming to you with a considerable amount of debt, or you know, having trouble getting — this isn't necessarily a trouble getting financing question, but more about just the debt that the business carries. Like, are you seeing good use cases there too?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think it's — and debt can be — you can have it go both ways. You know, unfortunately, sometimes in banking, it is the one industry, you know, one of the few industries where you can have a very interested customer and you have to unfortunately tell them no. And a lot of times it's in their best interests. And a lot of times no bank has ever given them a reason why. And I like to at least make it constructive and say, hey, this is what it looks like, because that business owner might be able to turn it around and get it back to a point where you can bank them. But we do also have times where somebody will take out a $100,000 loan, but they have to repay it over 12 months and they get dinged weekly on it, which essentially is a $4,500 a week payment. Or if you term that you refinance that $100,000 loan with an SBA loan and term it out over 10 years, you're dropping what was probably on a monthly basis a $15,000 payment to a $1,200 one. And that's, right. I mean, that's meaningful savings. So it can be done. It's something we've done before, where you can clean out some folks, the debt that they might have on their books. There's absolutely a possibility. Oftentimes you'll see where somebody's maybe made an acquisition and the seller financed it, but the seller says there's a balloon payment in year five, and that's a $400,000 payment that they might not have. We could refinance that $400,000 out over 10 years. So then they don't ever have to worry about a balloon payment, because an SBA loan is fully amortizing and has no balloon payment. And the same can be done for real estate. So there's a variety of options where an SBA 7A loan could be used to refinance debt to put that business in a better position to grow.
Great. And tell me about succession planning. Have you had scenarios where, you know, selling to a second or third generation, what does that look like?
Absolutely. So it's considered another business acquisition, but since, let's say it's the son of the owner, he's been the general manager for 5 or 7 years and dad's ready to sell and retire. The son can buy the dad out, but because he's a first time owner, that son will have to come up with at least 10% down to buy the business. So if it's $1 million loan, he'll have to roughly come up with $100,000 to put down as a first time owner. Now that can come from his 401k, that can come from his personal or checking account. It can't be borrowed, and it can't be a gift from the seller or anything like that. It could be a gift from grandma, that's fine, but it can't be a gift from the seller. Or if $100,000 or 10% down isn't the option, if the buyer can come up with 5% down, so $50,000 in this case, and the seller is willing to hold a seller note on full standby for the life of the SBA loan, meaning they don't get paid on 5% or 5% of the sale price until the SBA loan is paid off, we can finance the remaining 90% of that. And that can be that's over 10 years, fully amortizing. And the one thing is that the seller can't retain any ownership, so they can't have any equity ownership. They can hold a seller note and get paid that way so that they're interested in the future success of the company. But with the succession plan, absolutely, we can do that type of financing. We just, with an SBA loan, you can only do up to 90% if it's a first-time buyer of a company.
Got it. And let's talk about the smaller contractors now. So I assume you deal with people who are less than $1 million
in revenue. On occasion we do, when it's the right, when they're profitable and have, you know, and are able to repay the loan, we do. Absolutely. We really, you know, with an SBA loan, there's no minimum size standard. The biggest thing for us is just making sure we put them in the position to succeed. So absolutely.
Yeah, and that was my question, because I know we have listeners all over the spectrum revenue-wise, but we have quite a few who are kind of just getting started. And obviously, I don't know anyone's personal credit situation, but I know that you can't just roll into Live Oak Bank and say, I started my company. Here's my notebook where I keep all my information. What kind of advice do you have for those guys who are, you know, just kind of growing the business and want to eventually work with someone like you?
I'd say the biggest thing they can do is to call me. Because even if they're not interested in a loan today, I love my job. I love working with folks and helping them. I can give them the bank's perspective and review their financial and say, hey, you know, it might be, hey, this loan's not a good fit for you today, but kind of here's the targets that we're looking for. So that 6, 12 months, 24 months down the line, you can call us back and we can re-engage. I always encourage people to call, you know, whether it's something that they don't want today, or we'll have some people that, to your point earlier, they're surprised to hear this. They want to know if their business can go out and buy a piece of real estate, how much real estate would they qualify for? If their business is ready to buy another business, they look to get pre-qualified. Almost, we don't actually give a pre-qualification letter, but like a mortgage. But what we do is we get to become familiar with them and their business. And it might be, hey, you're ready to go. You can acquire a piece of property that's worth $1 million because your cash flow can support it. And then it just becomes, hey, we've got your financials already. I know you. You know me and Live Oak Bank. It then just becomes finding a piece of property. So I would just encourage people to reach out and call and ask questions and get to know the program and us, because you know, even though we're out here in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's kind of a weird time. We do visit all of our customers prior to closing the loan and go out and visit them and shake their hand and get to know them that way. So even though it's a transaction, we truly view it as a partnership getting to know people. So.
And where are your locations? Are they all throughout the U.S. or tell me about that?
So we have one bank branch in Wilmington, North Carolina. That's the only place you can walk in. I would say our bank branches are commercial plane, because that's how we get around and visit folks. And I can make it up to Wisconsin or California to visit people. So
we have a client who calls commercial planes flying Walmarts. And so it'll never be the same. It'll never be the same. You know who I'm talking about, Chris.
I do, yeah. Yep, I do know who
he flies.
Who
he flies private. Yeah. We do not.
So does Brandon. Brandon knows him too.
You know him too, Brandon, for sure. Flying Walmarts. So I'll never see it the same.
So your big suggestion is, and this makes sense, because especially in the last 6 months, is educate yourself on your options. And then if you... and then ask for guidance, because even if you're not might be in a position to get a loan now, you at least need to understand what the variables are to be able to get a loan. And I think so educating yourself is part of it. Like you talking about how the SBA 7A loan, people don't even know about it. Neither did I. Like, so I have to continuously educate myself. I mean, just to know what the options are out there. Rhino is a debt-free company, and we're a super healthy company. But if I was ever to go, you know, to want to do another acquisition, which we've had plenty of these conversations about acquiring other companies, I want to know all my options so I can get the best option for me, right? So that way I'm being able to maximize that acquisition, you know, based on the right deal. So what are, and you kind of mentioned this, but I just want to hit it one more time so that way maybe some boxes can be checked, but what are some of the like standard requirements? Like, hey, if you're going to apply for this loan, it's based on your credit, based on your cash. Like, what are those like key things that somebody needs to be thinking about if they want to go down this path?
Biggest thing, and that's an excellent question. I'd say the big three pillars, and obviously there are so many nuances
to it. Sure, of course.
You can't be, the big things are you can't currently be a felon or on probation or anything like that.
Sounds reasonable.
Those are the, and because it's a government, you know, U.S. government program, you have to be an American citizen or a legal alien. And the business has to be in the U.S. Those are the three big things.
Okay.
But then you also, the biggest thing is cash flow. You want to make sure that if your existing company can repay any existing debt it has, unless it's being refinanced, can repay the proposed debt. So if you're buying another business, you want to make sure that business can cover the proposed debt. And you want to make sure that as an owner that the business can already pay your salary to meet your personal debt obligations. Because what we don't want to do is give you a loan where our loan takes you over the edge and the cash flow can't support it. Or where we say, hey, you know, you have to cut your salary in half, which people don't want to do. So the biggest thing is making sure that the business is able to repay any existing debt, the proposed debt, and pay and continue to pay the owner a comfortable salary to live their life. The second thing is, even though it's a business loan and it doesn't show up on your personal credit report, we do look into personal credit. So making sure you have a good credit score, the upper 600s at least, as well as, and really for anybody listening, you already have it, but you have to have a good resume, good background in the industry. But I'm sure almost everybody listening here today is an owner of the company or is experienced in the industry. So they can register, they have that box checked already. So that means just the other two. But those are the big nuances of it. The big three things that I would say people can look into to determine the requirements, what have you.
Got it. Yeah, there's so much chatter, particularly around acquisition right now, and different types of arrangements for companies to have access to the kind of money they need to grow the business. Changing gears a little bit, you know, what I like about you, Brandon, is your story is similar to mine and Chris's in that we got into a business that, we didn't know we were getting in the HVAC business, right? Marketing, you can work with. You can go super wide with marketing. It's endless. But you have to perform to be able to last in one vertical. So what you're doing is super ambitious, but it's super risky too, right? Because if you don't deliver for these guys and you get a bad name, right, you're going to go back to the doggy daycares or veterinarians, right?
Yeah.
But it's cool, man. Like I would envision you in 3 or 4 years, someone comes up to you at a restaurant or a bar and they're like, what kind of business are you in? And you say, I'm in HVAC. Cause that's what we do. We say we're in HVAC, like we're in it. And when you're in it, it's a massively underserved industry. Like they don't have people who are going as far and as deep as companies like yours and mine are doing. So it can be very, very rewarding. But perhaps that was an after podcast conversation, but I just thought I'd share that. You're just like us, man, all in. I love it.
Oh yeah. To me as a banker, you know, we see a lot of financials. I've seen a lot of at the bank. You know, I previously worked in other industries before I started researching and lending to this one. So I've got a pretty wide array of what industries. And I've seen financials where you go on a home service company and go, holy cow, it's a hidden gem. And this company is in the middle of nowhere in South Carolina. I've never heard of it. But it's this hidden gem and they're everywhere. And I think it's a great industry.
Yeah. And then you look at just the opportunity and the upside when it comes to things like digitization and marketing, and you're like, and they've not even been doing these things. I know two people right now who are business owners. One's in Wilmington, North Carolina, one's in Phoenix, that were private equity guys. And when I asked them how they got into the business, they don't know each other. But they got into the business because they were reviewing HVAC financials and they're like, why am I working here? I want to be a plumber. Like it's amazing. And you probably worked that deal out in Wilmington.
I possibly, if it's who we're thinking of.
Yep. Absolutely. I love it. Great people over there.
Well, listen, first off, I want to make sure that you and I have a follow-up phone call after this. And really it's just, Paul and I've kicked around. We're always trying to find ways to what else can we do to help our customers? That is the whole reason that Rhino exists, is to grow Rhino clients' business. That is it. But that doesn't mean just with digital marketing like what we do. That also means we're trying to look out for their best interest on, you know, do they need call coaching? We don't do that, but we need to try and find the right companies that can help them continue to grow. And so on, like with mergers and acquisitions, we have plenty of private equity that reaches out to us looking for, you know, any potential Rhino customers or clients that would want to be acquired. I mean, various things. And this is no different. It's just that this has had a microscope on it more so over the last, you know, the first two quarters of the year with all that's going on. So, and listen, you hear all kinds of stuff. And that's why, in the beginning, we're talking about sometimes you got to read the fine print, is you got to find somebody you can trust. You got to find somebody that can educate you properly. you know, and give you good guidance, you know, because, you know, if I didn't, and it's no secret, I've gotten significantly better, but I'm the CEO of Rhino. And my wife is the COO of Rhino, and we are exact opposites. She is very, very intelligent financially. She had good genes. Her father was vice president of investments for Morgan Stanley. Uber smart, you know, funny. So it's a blessing because I've got, you know, that's who's the backbone of this business, but she reads the fine print and she gets it. She understands it, but I don't. So like, if I didn't have her, I would have to heavily rely on somebody that can be my guy or my girl that tells me you need to be looking into this. You need to be looking into this. Like the financial piece of this and having somebody who pays so close attention to it is extremely important. Whether you're $50 million company or $50,000 company or $50 million company, you got to have that guy that knows your finances, like, and is on and is your guy.
Yeah, Chris, I wonder.
Absolutely.
I wonder, like, what would you do without Anna? Like, who would give you your allowance every week?
Is that what you were smiling about over there? I was like, what the hell is Tom Paul smiling for? Wait to make some stupid comment. Jeez, that's totally true. Anyhow, listen, man, Brent, I appreciate you coming on here, man, and sharing that. And there's probably a lot of other questions that come from this that the listeners are thinking about. Clearly, we can't cover all those things on this particular podcast. That being said, I heard you say that those can reach out to you to ask those questions, perhaps privately or whatever. So if you would, why don't you share with the listeners just the best way to get in touch with you if they want to reach out to you directly?
Absolutely. So the best way to get in touch with me, and I really encourage anybody who has questions to reach out and figure out how this product might be an arrow in your quiver as a business owner. My email is brandon.bolen@liveoak.bank, brandon.bolen@liveoak.bank. Or they can give my office number a call, which is 910-550-2858. And they can call that office number anytime because it forwards directly to my cell phone. I have not picked up a call on my office, my actual office phone in like 4 years. It goes right to my cell phone. And I encourage anybody that has questions or an opportunity to reach out and see how we might be able to work together.
Well, we appreciate you coming on here, my man.
Thank you. Thank you both for having me on today. It was, I've had a great time, and looking forward to listening to it, once it gets posted.
Yeah, brother. Well, listen, if you don't know, now you know, okay? You got to know who you can get a hold of if you have any financial questions or anything along those lines, or if you now have this, like you listen to this podcast and you're thinking, holy shit, I think I might be able to go buy somebody realistically with this type of loan. Don't talk about it, be about it. Okay, let's make it happen. Brandon, thanks again so much. Tall Paul, appreciate the thoughtful questions you're asking. The wheels are spinning. I'm always like, hey, maybe at Rhino we should start offering financing for internet marketing. I don't know. Don't know. Would it work? Don't know. All right, brother, appreciate you. Listeners, thanks again so much for constantly coming back and listening. And to all of our new listeners, thank you for chiming in. We appreciate you so much. Until next time, peace.
Thank you for listening to The Point. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please consider leaving us a review in the App Store. And don't forget to share with your friends. Till next time, kick some ass.